Feeling blessed? It's very quiet in the congregation this morning. It's always a bit worrying when you get up here and it's quiet. Let me tell you something about Mossvale Community Church. We ain't going to settle for mediocrity. We are Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're all in. If you're looking for a Father and Son church, you'll find one up the road. If you're looking for the presence of God, come on down here. The Spirit of God hangs out at Mossvale. I'm sure he hangs out at a few other places at church as well. But we like the Holy Spirit here, don't we? We like the presence of God here at MCC. The presence of God is not here. I'm not going to be here. I'll be that church up the road where he's hanging out. I'll be with them doing the things of God, doing the things in the Holy Spirit. So we are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all the way. Amen. Praise God. You know, we're back in the book of Ephesians. It feels like since the start of the year, we've been in the book of Ephesians. The Holy Spirit must be wanting to say something to us from this book. So I'm going to go to a different chapter, though. I'm going to go to chapter 5. Now, I read here from the last time I preached, and to be honest, we could spend an entire year in chapter 5. We could be in there all year. There's so much wisdom in that chapter. But there's also, depending on your stance, there's a lot of controversy in chapter 5 as well. Lots of challenge in these 33 verses. Read it later on if you get the chance. I would be as bold, I am quite bold, I'd be as bold as to say it's impossible to read that chapter without He, the Holy Spirit, convicting of an attitude or activity that we are either over or under indulging in. Listen to this. Today I am focusing just on one verse in here. In fact, one half of a verse. I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God. And maybe it'll sink in a little bit quicker from your head to your feet if you're standing. Sometimes if you're sitting, it gets stuck around your waistline. You want it to drop straight down and straight. And listen to this. Carrying on for a couple of weeks ago. Be careful then how you live. Hello? Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Listen to verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, Amen. Please be seated. My challenge to this church, because I know many have come in from different areas, denominations, backgrounds, and wherever you've came in from. My challenge is simple, and it is this. Be filled with the Spirit. I think the Pentecostals missed that this morning. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Why is that so important to me? Yeah, me. That this church is filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you why. Because my job to help every single person in this church reach their full potential for Jesus Christ. That's our job. And I firmly, you'll not be able to convince me of anything else. I am absolutely convinced and believe the pathway to this full potential is to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. See, I believe the Holy Spirit wakes me up every morning and gives me a deeper revelation of who God is. I want to know God more, do you? I trust you do. Now, let me just digress for a wee minute or two and be a little bit silly. I am not into motorbikes. That's definitely not my thing. They're not my thing. I think it'd look pretty cool on a motorbike, but it's not my thing. A lot of my cousins and family, they're incredibly passionate about motorbikes. But imagine, I inherited, let's go for it, a Harley Davidson. The cream. And of course, I get out there and get myself the leather jacket. You've got to do it. Got to go the whole way. And then I have the church logo emblazoned on my jacket. That's my gang. It's my gang for life. And then, of course, you get someone to take a photo on your Instagram of you and your motorbike looking very cool. And then you go out onto the open road and you put on your crash helmet, and then you take a deep breath and push. And you start pushing that bike. And you're pushing that bike with all your might. That 600 pound bike along that beautiful open road. That's what you're doing with that motorbike. You're working right there because just maybe the penny hasn't dropped. That you don't really know how that bike works. And you don't know what to do properly with that bike, so you have become content not to sit on, rev up and go, but to stand behind and push that bike right along that open road. Now, we know that's ridiculous. We know it's ridiculous. But is that not the life that some believers are experiencing today? They don't understand why life has become so difficult. They're pushing their faith along the road rather than letting their faith carry them through this tortured life that we're called to live in. They know they've made a conscious decision to be a child of God, to be a believer, but they have never pursued what it means to be a spirit-filled child of God. Hear me. They have faith, yes they do, but they end up, as I've said, pushing it around instead of allowing it to carry them through the abundant life. And Christianity, let me tell you sadly, can be a constant battle. Who knows that? It can be a daily battle. Every day can sometimes be a struggle for the child of God. Listen to me this morning very carefully. If you and I are going to experience the fullness of the believing life or the Christian life, then we must at some point learn how to be controlled by and to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. This is imperative for our survival. You see, you can have made that commitment. Praise God, I hope you have. That will get you into heaven. Who all knows you're going to heaven? Praise God. That's wonderful. But unless, hear me, unless you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to have a rough road here below. So Ephesians says, and the apostle says in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine. Amen. Oh no, amens. That's interesting. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this verse, I want you to hear me now. This verse is a command. Oh, Lord have mercy. This verse is a command. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And I am into it. In a big, big way. Now, of course, we can read these words and say, don't panic everybody, if you're out in the tiles last night. See, there's two types of drunkenness, isn't there? There's a natural and the spiritual. There's two types going on right here. So we can read these words and we can say, well, the Bible says that we shouldn't get drunk, and it does many times. But the Bible says a whole lot more than that. Much, much more than that. So while this verse, I'm not sure whether this grammar is proper English here, but I'm going to go with it. So while this verse does give us a don't, it also gives us a do. You hear that? Christianity or faith in Jesus is far more than a bunch of don'ts. There are a whole lot of do's to keep you busy too. In fact, let's keep this really simple. I can see you're struggling this morning. If we actually were to spend our time doing the do's, stay with it, we won't have time, listen, look at that, we won't have time to do the don'ts. So it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm looking at you now and you're thinking, what is he talking about? It makes perfect sense to me to engross myself in the do's, be filled with the Spirit, rather than the don'ts. Takes up all my time doing those things, especially this one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just touch it very quickly. I've got to. Do not get drunk on wine. I didn't make it up, Pastor Debbie. It's in there. Do not get drunk on wine. Do not get drunk on wine. Do not get intoxicated with alcohol if you're a child of God. Am I clear? Didn't say do not have a glass of wine, Pastor. Didn't say that. It says do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You know what debauchery is? Debauchery is overindulgence. It is overindulgence in a thing or a substance or a toxic thing that eventually causes you and I to lose control of our faculties or facilities, which then leads us to a deeper sin. Did you hear that? Many feel, I've got to say this. Many feel that drunkenness is a great evil. I would agree with that. Because drunkenness, listen to this, is filling the temple of the Holy Spirit with a toxin. Watch this. But what about failing to obey the Lord, be filled. Now I think I know how some of you would react if I staggered in here next week intoxicated with the wine. You know. Stumbled on the platform. Yay! Hey! Hey! Hallelujah! I'm up here preaching, steaming. You'd be shouting, sack him! Get him off the platform, the drunken bum pastor! Get him out of here! True, and you should. You should, and that's true. But listen to this. We should never hear this. We should never, ever, ever attempt to do the Lord's work in an unfilled condition. Stay with this. We are to be filled as a child of God consciously and continuously by the Holy Spirit. And there are 100 million good reasons why we should be seeking this infilling. But most importantly, this is about being obedient to God. And I want to be an obedient child of God. Charles Swindoll writes this beautifully. He says, this verse, this is a command, this is not a suggestion. It's an urgent imperative, not a casual option. Be filled is a command, which means that you and I play a part in this. We have something to do. Now hear this morning, and hear this very, very carefully. I cannot be filled with the Spirit while I still have unconfessed sin within me. Hear me today. I cannot be filled with the Spirit while at the same time conducting my life in the energy of the flesh. I cannot be filled with the Spirit while I am resisting God's plan and God's will for my life. I must be sure, I need to be sure that I have taken care of the sins that have emerged in my life, that I have not ignored the wrong that I've done before God and to others. Are you hearing this? I need to walk. I'm talking about me here. I need to walk in conscious dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ on a day-to-day, daily basis. It's important for my survival. So it is. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. Now, the opposite of obedience is not passivity. It's actually rebellion. The Christian or the believer who is not seeking the filling of the Spirit is in direct rebellion to God. Be filled. That's the present tense, which tells you and I to be filled now and remain filled now and forevermore. But be filled is also the plural. This means that every single child of God has an obligation to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now you remember a few weeks ago, I spoke about the difference between the disciple and a crowd. Well, listen to this. God wants every single one, the whole crowd, to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not the abnormal Christian experience. No. This is the normal Christian experience. Spirit filling is not for the privileged few or fervent God seekers. It is the gift for every single heart that is obedient to Him. And not only do we owe God our obedience in this matter of Spirit filling, we also have an obligation to Him directly today. We are obligated to God in every single area of our lives. Therefore, church, we must strive to be everything we can be for the glory of God. And to do this, we must be Spirit filled. You see, this is especially important, I think. But I think it's more especially important in our worship life. Look at the second little part there. Speaking to one another with psalms. Amen. And hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs. Sing and make music from your heart. Praise God. See, I believe that God is wanting to move us from singing words from moving God from our hearts when we worship Him. It's almost waiting for the spiritual penny to drop a foot. We have to remove ourselves from seeing words and singing words. Hear the words. But lest they are affecting us by the Spirit of God in and through our lives, they remain just words on paper. We used to sing a song that says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Remember that? That's what happens when Jesus comes into your heart. You must go through a series of changes or shifts or seasons that brings you by the Spirit of God into this deeper place of intimacy with God. So when we sing a song, as we did today, about Christ crucified, If that is not affecting me inwardly at some level, then we should be praying for the Holy Spirit to convict us of some form of apathy, because every time we embrace the song by the Spirit of God, something should be shifting and resonating within our life that compels us to let it burst from within. But if it's staid, and if it's monotone, at times, there's a reflection that there's no reality and no real excitement in what you're experiencing in the church. So there must be a shift from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit that compels you to realize what these psalms, what these songs, what these hymns meant, and perhaps what they cost the person who penned these words. You see, an authentic worship experience comes when we are sensitive to and when we are controlled by He, the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 4:24, it says, God is Spirit. Praise God. God is Spirit, and His worshippers, any in here? His worshippers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we must be filled in this area of worship, but also in our relationships. When you look further on in verses 22 through 25, it's explaining, now hear this, you might have never thought about this before in your home regarding husbands and wives. This is explaining that neither husband or wife can really fulfill their duties to the other until they are living directly under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Wow. In Ephesians 6, let's go on a chapter, in the first four verses, it prompts parents and children, they need the filling also in order to show honor or to be worthy of honor where that is due in their home. I mean, how many parents in here ever feel like a broken down record? You are just nag, nag, nag. Is that just us? You're brave. Yeah, we'll identify that word. See that? See that right there? The Holy Spirit wants to set you free from that. He, the Spirit, wants to set you free, and He wants to fill your mouth with thankfulness in your home life. The same goes with your work life in Ephesians 6 verses 5 through 9. We are to do our job as if we are working directly for the Lord. Praise God. Our daily work ought to be carried out with that same enthusiasm that we have in a Sunday morning. Well, if we have that in a Sunday morning, that can be questionable. Every believer ought to let his light shine brightly on the job. This is important. There's a great need in our workplaces for this kind of witness. And I know perhaps what you're thinking, well, hey, Pastor, you have got it easy. You work at the church and Jesus is your boss. And that's true. He is. But as a servant, I have a whole congregation to take care of, and believe me, no one would want to do this job or want this job without the Holy Spirit driving them to do it. None. See, life is a battle, isn't it? Life is a battle. Paul then launches into one of his greatest metaphors, and I believe Debbie and Danny have both touched on the full armor of God over the last couple of weeks. But understand this, we are locked, absolutely 100% locked in mortal combat with a powerful foe, this devil. The only hope we have of succeeding in life is to war in the Holy Spirit. Imperative. Why is this the case? Because Satan is after your home. He is after your family. He is after your marriage. He is after your faith. He is after your health. He is after your happiness. Anything he can touch and destroy, he will. And our only hope is to be Spirit-filled and fight with the full armor of God. So praise God. He gives us those seven tools. Why? Pastor Debbie preached it. So we can stand our ground. And after we've done absolutely everything, stand. Stand. Ephesians 7, 6, 17, 18, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. The word and prayer, we say this over and over again. And Paul ends this book calling for his readers to consider his witness and reminding them that then, like now, these may seem like dark days, but they are still days of great opportunity for the church. The world needs our message. The world needs our hope. I believe we have a tremendous opportunity this year to share the gospel with a world that is lost, but to take full advantage of this great privilege, we must be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do to receive this infilling? Let me tell you simple stuff. The filling of the Spirit is a gift to the redeemed, to you and I. Simply receive Jesus into your heart. Receive Jesus into your life. Let me tell you, this is a lifelong commitment and lifelong wide commitment. I see no other way regarding this. We have to open all the doors of our life. We have to invite Him to come in. We have to allow Him to take control of everything, every single day of our lives. Then we must choose to yield to the Spirit. In other words, make a commitment to the Holy Spirit to live under His influence. You see, where alcohol or other drug influences and controls your thoughts and behaviors, the Spirit of God can change actually your attitude, your personality. He will change everything about you. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force this. He will not push this. This is where we must allow the Holy Spirit to do His reviving and restorative work in us and keep it a part of our daily lives by total dependence upon Him. Paul writes again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Amen. We receive Christ by faith, and we must also have faith that He will then flood or fill our lives. And so if you today have offered your heart and opened the doors of your life to Him, the claiming of the filling of the Spirit by faith, if you've done all those things, I guarantee you, open your eyes and you'll begin to see incredible things take place before you. Why don't the worship team come back and tie this down? Said enough. See, what will happen in here is this, church. Relationships will change. But most importantly, your relationship with your Heavenly Father will change. Obeying His commands will no longer be a burden. In the strength of the Spirit, you'll be filled with praise and adoration. You will have a true spirit of worship. Stand with me today, will you? Scripture says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit." The Spirit's given me just one wee word here. So just close your eyes and receive this. This is for one, or perhaps many, I'm not sure. Simply, you have a critical heart. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit today, God's going to replace that critical heart with one of joy and thanksgiving. That's for someone today. That's a tough one. Because who wants to admit anything like that? And we're not going to ask you to anyway. The critical spirit be replaced with a spirit of joy, a spirit of thanksgiving. Praise God. And then the Lord's saying, then what will flow from you? Once you take care of that and yield that to God, all those fruits that have been mentioned recently of the Spirit will begin to impact you, and that's what will come out of you. Rather than condescension, criticism, selfish ambition, the Holy Spirit is challenging some today. Paul said, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit, God is saying. The Holy Spirit is working now in someone's life or some person's life. It's going to woo you to the throne of mercy today, not to chastise you, but to fill you and equip you and ready you, empower you, enable you to move forward. The battle will commence. Will you be prepared and equipped for it? By the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying to someone, hand over the reins right now. Yield your members to me right now. The Lord is saying to another one, you've been stuck in the same place spiritually. You've not moved. You've lost momentum. You've lost your way. The Spirit of God is drawing you right now. I can sense it. I can feel it in my heart. To many here today, the Lord has been saying you've been living like the world for a long time now and showing up and paying your dues. You've always sensed the call of God upon your life. Will you dare yield again to God? The Spirit is calling you. The Spirit is drawing you. The Spirit is wooing you to Himself. The Lord is speaking to one or two about their hidden sins this morning. The Spirit of God is asking you, will you confess them to God today? Will you come before the throne of grace and lay them down at the feet of Jesus? Will you be immersed in the presence of God today? Will you let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life? So there's no turning back, no one going back, but you're pressing forward into the things that God has for your life. I can only pray that some persons are hearing what's been spoken today. Because this can be a life-altering, life-shaping moment for you. You can leave this way exactly the same way you came in, not being affected or dented. Or you can leave full of the Holy Spirit, full of the joy of the Lord, full of the peace of God that the world will never understand or know. You can leave knowing your cup is running over with living water today. We prayed before the church, let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. And so as we sing our next song, here's the deal. You can remain where you are. You can present your bodies to God where you are. Or you can come and stand here and our team will come around you. We're not here to chastise or judge or condemn, but to love you. If you come here today and say, hey, I've never really received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, today can be your day. But the Spirit of God will come upon you, and I guarantee you, when the Spirit of God comes upon a man, woman, or child, they are changed. He opens the eyes of your heart to see everything that you never once saw before. You see things through the eyes of Jesus. You see things. You hear things differently. You taste and touch things in a new way. So who amongst us today, because my job's done now for today, who amongst us today is willing to stand in awe of him, to open their hands and heart to God and say, Lord, I'm a vessel. I really want to be used by you, but I've not been living the way I have. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and empower me, revive me, that I can press on from here. So we're going to sing now. This area of space is consecrated. It's walked over every Sunday morning. It's anointed. It's blessed. It's prepared and equipped for times such as these. Who amongst us today is not going to be a settler for where they are, but ready to rise up into the new things that God has for their life? So Father, in the name of Jesus, should there be any today who are ready to respond to this word, open their hearts now to receive. And if we remain where we're standing, that's fine, God. But for those, Lord, who choose to stand here at the altar, hallelujah, get them by the Holy Spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are done here. We're going to worship God. If you want to come and get some prayer, please do. If not, we'll continue from there, Peter.